Hello, and welcome back to How to Learn a Language. I'm Lindsay of Lindsay Does Languages, your host for this show. And this episode, we are going to be digging into what successful language learning looks like. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my kind of vision and concept of the process of language learning when it's really, really working well long term. And that is all about speedy gains and steady growth and how these two different phases combine. So yes, very, very excited to get into this. But before we do, I would love to invite you to get your free on-demand private training. I shared this live, like May time 2023. And someone said to me that they think it's the best thing that I've ever shared, publicly out there for free. So I was like, okay, we need to get this out a little bit more. And so, yeah, I've made this, I've re-recorded it. It's now an on-demand private training. It's called Why Self-Compassion is Your Greatest Language Learning Strength. If you've heard a couple of recent episodes of this podcast, you'll have heard me talk about this before. And if you missed it, if you missed the live training, then now you can catch it. So Why Self-Compassion is Your Greatest Language Learning Strength, just head to the link in the description in the show notes for this episode, and you'll see right there the option to join and to sign up for that. All right, so let's get into this topic then. First of all, when we talk about successful language learning, there is this image perhaps that successful language learning is quick and easy. We'll get to quick and easy. You will have maybe heard me talk about quick and easy before, but I just want to preface everything by saying that it isn't always about speed, right? The best language learners, the ones who really do this well, long term, and it's a really viable way to learn a language for them, they know how to combine speedy gains and steady growth. So that's what we're going to talk about. And it really ties into one of the questions that I think I get asked the most, maybe after which languages do you speak? The next question that I, in terms of frequency, is how long does it take to learn a language? And I often get asked this for myself, for my own experience of how quickly I was able to learn a language. And the truth is, it depends. There are just so many factors that affect this, from how much time you can dedicate to it each week, to what you do within that time, from your reasons for learning, and to how these reasons change as you go on with the process. So it's really impossible to give a simple answer to the how long does it take to learn a language question. And like I say, it depends, but it depends as well. It's been different for me every single time, how long it's taken for me to get to a point where I feel comfortable and confident and like I can speak relatively fluidly. And then also how that then fades or changes or gets better over time with different languages. There's just no one word answer. However, when you understand the one key thing that we're going to talk about today about how language learning works long term, you'll be well on your way to redefining successful language learning for yourself. So, as I said, we're going to get into the quick and easy discussion, and there's a real problem with this, right? So, you've probably been tempted by the front cover of the French book in your local bookshop that says it's quick French, or the front cover of that German book that says it's easy German. Of course, language learning is one of those things that most monolingual people claim they dream of doing. It's a bucket list thing. It's a one day I will wish. It's the ultimate I'll start tomorrow thing. So why is it then that so many people struggle with getting beyond chapter 3 of that shiny new quick French or easy German textbook? There's one simple reason: our expectations are misaligned. What people really mean when they say, I'd love to speak Spanish, or one day I wish I'd be fluent in Japanese, is that they want the result. The click your fingers and as if by magic result of speaking Spanish or being fluent in Japanese, which is understandable. Of course they want the result. We all do, right? Otherwise, why are we bothering to learn a language, or to do anything for that matter, in the first place? But what's missing from that narrative is the bit in the middle, the actual work that it takes to get that result. You want your house to be clean and tidy, But unless you pay to hire a cleaner, there'll be some time spent on your hands and knees, yourself, scrubbing away to get that result of a clean house. But there's a difference here between that example and language learning, and that is that no one else can do this for you. You can't pay someone like you would pay a cleaner to tidy your house. You can't pay someone to learn a language for you. Sure, there are ways that you can make it quicker and easier, and learning how to learn a language is a big one, but unless we realign our expectations first of all, the whole language learning thing likely won't happen as quickly and easily as we'd hoped on day one. So, with that in mind, how do we adjust our language expectations? We live in a world where, for many of us, we can turn on the TV, go to a streaming service and watch exactly the show we want to when we want to, where we can order something on Amazon and it arrives at your front door, in some cases, the very same day. We've got very used to instant gratification. It feels good. It's this Veruca Salt-esque, I want it now attitude that has left many language learners then feeling deflated and disappointed with the results. And as I've said, our expectations are often skewed. So how can we adjust our expectations to lead to a more conductive environment for language learning? One idea here, include milestones. Firstly, we need to include milestones and smaller goals along the way. You don't climb to the top of Everest without checking in at base camp. We need to add in multiple base camps. For example, if you're learning Arabic for a trip to Egypt in 2 months' time, rather than that trip being the only deadline you aim for, include milestones each week to see how you're getting on. So examples could be kind of topic-based check-ins, right? Perhaps by the end of week one, you want to be confident with greetings and introductions. And maybe week two is all about grasping the basics of restaurant and food ordering. And not only does this, having these kind of check-ins, acknowledge that you're making progress along the way, but it also gives you a chance to see if there's any gaps forming that you maybe need to fill going forward as well. Secondly, it can be just the biggest help to develop self-compassion. And you heard at the start of this episode that there is that private training now available on demand whenever you want it, whenever you're ready for it, to help you understand more about self-compassion and why this is actually your greatest language learning strength. There'll potentially be weeks when you check in with your milestone and you haven't quite reached what you'd hoped for. And it's too easy for this to be a moment of harsh self-criticism if you let it. However, it can be a chance to acknowledge that perhaps you were busy with other things or that that milestone was actually a lot to achieve in just 1 week. So how can you recognize that instead of falling into the harsh self-criticism? It's all about self-compassion, developing a stronger sense of self-compassion. We have a whole prelude lesson dedicated to this in Language Life, but for a primer, join my email list, watch the private training I've recorded for you, and it explains why this is your greatest language strength. Like I say, link is in the description or the show notes for that one. And thirdly here, allow space for instant gratification. So to satisfy that itch, if you like, for instant gratification that we've grown so used to in recent years, it can sometimes be valuable to work with that rather than against it. So if you find those quick wins really satisfying and motivating, there's no reason not to include them in your language process. So perhaps this looks like timing yourself to remember as many words from your latest vocab app session as possible. Maybe it's that feeling of pride after you've booked your next online lesson. Perhaps it's even as simple just dancing around to your favorite song in that language in the kitchen, right? It doesn't need to be overly complicated or even the same measure each time. As long as you feel good, allow it. Why then does successful language learning look like this combination of speedy gains with steady growth? Well, there are moments when you're learning a language that you need to have things really progress quite quickly, or perhaps you simply have some extra time to devote to it for a week or so, or maybe you are right at the start and you are just full of motivation and you want to spend every waking minute with this language. And when this happens, you're likely to make quick progress in a short space of time. Or as I like to call it, speedy gains. However, this sort of dedication and time and effort isn't typically sustainable and viable in the long term. You know, life happens, right? And then before you know it, your newfound every waking minute language routine is completely shattered and you have no idea how to rebuild it. And this is where a lot of language learners fall down and don't get back up, because we've been fed that things need to be daily and quick and easy and effortless, etc. However, when life does happen and you don't have the same time, energy or dedication as you did during that phase of speedy gains, you can still keep going. All you need to do is understand what the other side of this looks like, what steady growth looks like for you. So, what does steady growth look like? Well, steady growth is what happens when your language routines and habits are sustainable long term, when it is something that you can maintain even when things get busy, when life happens. It's about having this solid foundation of language learning in your life that allows for spaces for difference. And there's three things to consider here, okay? Number one, track your language pockets of time. So often when we think we're doing very little language learning, it's helpful to take everything into account, track it all, see how it adds up. And you might be surprised at how much language time is happening in your day, especially when you include all exposure, like listening to music or watching something on Netflix. And by no means am I saying that sat at the end of a busy long day, just really, really leaning back, just watching something on Netflix that happens to be in Korean is as effective or as valuable use of your time as being sat in that lesson. But equally, being sat in an online lesson could be a complete waste of your time if the lesson is too advanced, you've got no clue what they're talking about, or if you are equally as tired, you know? So there is no like measure of like everything is exactly the same value. Oh, I spent 5 minutes watching Netflix, that equates to 5 minutes of Duolingo, which equates to, you know, 5 minutes spent in a lesson. There's no, you know, one measure here, but including everything, all of this exposure, all of this time that you spend with the language is a really valuable way to acknowledge everything that you are actually doing. And if you do this and you realize that there's not as much as you'd like after trying this, then it gives you that opportunity to increase your language learning and to increase your exposure as well. Secondly, get it on the calendar. So if you're the type of person who responds well to external expectations, then this one's for you. Treat your language learning like you would a work meeting. Get it on the calendar. That way it's blocked out for you. You've got no excuse. And it doesn't have to be hours at a time. It doesn't have to be Saturday, whoosh, language day, the whole thing, right? You can simply fit 10 minutes in here and there at various moments throughout your week, see how it feels, and if it fits without too much adjustment to everything else. And finally, when it comes to steady growth, booking things in advance. So following on from that last point, when I book things in advance, especially language lessons or exchanges, things that rely on someone else, this works really well. Again, if you respond to external accountability, I know that it works for me because knowing someone will be waiting will encourage me to show up and be there no matter what. Whereas sometimes if you say to yourself, after work today, I'm going to have half an hour sat down with my, you know, Greek textbook, right? Saying that to yourself for some people is enough, but for a lot of people isn't enough. So it's knowing what works for you and booking things in advance if you know that that's going to help. On the other hand, that's our steady growth, right? So that's the things that are like ticking over on a general basis. But then there's these moments where you want that speedy gain. So what do speedy gains look like? So from time to time, you want this, right? You want that little boost, that kind of shell or the mushroom in Mario. And speedy gains can last as long or as short as you like. As long as you feel confident in being able to maintain your new routine and plan for that time, then you're golden. So, you know, don't say, I'm going to learn over a whole year and then kind of, you know, plan nothing in between to make that happen. That's a long time for a speedy gain. We're talking about your more short-term solutions. So this could be a sort of langathon day or weekend. This might look like devoting a day to booking in lots of lessons with online teachers. I've done this a few years for what I call langathon. I think initially it started in 2020 because I was supposed to run a marathon And obviously it was cancelled, 2020. And so I was like, well, I'm still going to use this day. I'm going to have a Langathon instead. And so I just booked in a lesson throughout that day with a teacher of all the languages that I'd ever learned before, like to, you know, learn to a decent level. It's so much fun. So every now and then I'll have one of these. You'll know, I'll invite you. We can do it all together. And so it could be more than a day. It could be a weekend to really focus on a topic and write or speak or learn as much as you can. There's freedom here, but the point is that you are having it as a very short time frame. The second option would be sort of a starter boost lessons. So maybe you want to start a new language, take advantage of that initial motivation that you have at the very beginning, and go straight into a phase of speedy gains. This worked really well for me with Japanese, where I was able to learn plenty of spoken Japanese without being slowed down by the script. It worked really well. However, when I tried the same approach with Korean, it just didn't work as well. I think honestly, it's because I picked the wrong tutor and we spent at least eight hour long lessons on just pronunciation. And for me, that is not how I like to start learning a new language. So I was sort of stalled, you know, like with the Japanese, it's like I turned on the engine of the car and woo, down the motorway I went. With Korean, it was like I'm turning the engine and it's like, you know, there was nothing. It didn't work in the same way. So make sure that you can stay in control of that process and it doesn't get too dry or boring to get the results that you're after. And finally here, seasonal shift. So using the calendar, especially seasons, works really well for the sort of longer term speedy gain that you might be after. And I'd say this is probably like the longest that you'd want to go, kind of 3 or 4 months, you know. So for example, you could set a specific and measurable goal over the summer. So it might be something like by autumn, you know, by September 1st, I will be able to take an online A2 test in Italian and pass comfortably, right? And with longer term speedy gains, really make sure here that you've got a plan in place that includes plenty of milestones. So you're not just left in the dark on your progress throughout. You've got points that you're acknowledging. You know, maybe you're taking mock A2 tests in Italian along the way to just see how it's all going. So there we go. That's really what successful language learning looks like. It's when you have these moments of sort of speedy gain, these little Mario boosts, you have this predominant sort of steady growth going on in the background throughout, and it combines and it doesn't leave you feeling completely deflated when the speedy gain ends or when life happens, right? There's this whole sort of holistic ecosystem that is all working in place and working together for you. So yeah, woo, give it a go. See if there's anything here that you think, okay, yeah, I don't do that as much, that you can add in, that you can maybe change for your own language learning. And I'm looking forward to hearing how this goes. As I said, if this is something that feels kind of new, overwhelming, maybe as well the concept of self-compassion, of developing more, which I think is really important here, so that when a speedy gain ends, you don't just feel, oh, that's it, it's over, I've given up, you know, then definitely sign up for the free private training, Why Self-Compassion is Your Greatest Language Strength. This is on demand now. You may have heard me talk about this before because I hosted this live. But yeah, it was very, very well received. And so I wanted to make sure that it's permanently shared, that you can access this as and when you need. So it's there for you, designed to inspire ambitious language learners like you with the knowledge that you need to become an even better language learner than you already are. You'll discover that invaluable role of self-compassion. And it really helps with that positive mindset development that is so necessary to successful language learning, to moving forward in the right direction. So the link to sign up for that private training is in the description, in the show notes. I'm looking forward to hearing all your thoughts on it. And I'll be back very, very soon. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Happy language learning. And I'll speak to you soon. Thanks. Bye.